As finite human beings, most of us have a tough time picturing an unseen world of angels and demons who fight to bring us down and fight to hold us up. And yet Scripture is quite clear that beyond our vision are forces at war. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message introduced earlier this week based on Daniel chapter 10. It's here we find helpful clues on the unseen supernatural world and practical instruction on how to defeat the enemy and solicit protection from angels. Chuck Swindoll has titled today's message, Supernatural Phenomena Between Heaven and Earth.
I don't care how long you've walked with God, you're not ready to meet an angel without some shock. Part of the reason, you see, is that we are human individuals, not fixed or not focused on that which is ethereal, that which is otherworldly. So we're not ready to face that. It says in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. It appeared in human form to Daniel, dressed in this strange attire, this resplendent appearance, and yet the other individuals saw it and ran. The last part of it, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. They didn't see the vision with me. So verse 8, I was left alone and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor. I retained no strength. He got white as a sheet. Verse 10. Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Poor Daniel. He's on his face and he's on his hands and knees. In fact, if you study it from a human point of view, all the way through the book of Daniel, he's up and down, knees, back up, running, back down, on his face, back on his knees. A poor guy. No wonder he didn't get fat. He was moving all the time, up and down, going through life. And he says, this creature said to me, verse 11, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you and stand upright. I have been sent to you. Look at that. Daniel, I've been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Here he is standing up again. He's been on his face and on his hands and knees. Now he's standing up and he's trembling. And the creature said to him, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now let me share with you five principles on prayer from this very passage. Here's the first one, right here in verse 12. When a believer prays, it is immediately heard by God. This angel said, when you spoke, God heard, and I was sent with an answer. There's no waiting. As far as God is concerned, Daniel, the day you uttered it, God heard it. And I was sent with an answer. Now let's look further. It gets heavy in verse 13. This is the heart of the passage. I have come in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Note that. 21 days. How long had Daniel been praying and mourning and waiting? It says twice an entire period of 3 weeks up earlier in the passage. He had uttered his request and God had dispatched the answer, but en route it was intercepted. Principle number two, demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. Now here is where you must believe it by faith. You can't feel it. We can't prove it except from what God says. This is the only verse in all the Bible I've been able to find that speaks of a demonic interception. Now let's understand the identity of the prince here. The prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me. Now some who read this would say, well, that's the king of Persia. Oh, wait a minute, we're talking about the spiritual realm. The prince, as Edward J. Young correctly says, is not the king of Persia. For the thought here is that of spiritual warfare. To be sure, this was an evil angel, a demon. And so powerful was he that he was able to hinder Daniel's prayer for 3 weeks, the answer to which was given from the first day that Daniel set his heart to understand before God. But the angel dispatched with the revelation was intercepted by the hostile spirit of the kingdom of Persia, and was not able to convey the vision to Daniel until the archangel Michael, special guardian of the interests of Israel, came to his assistance. The system of demonic forces existing over the kingdom of Persia intercepted that angel and stopped him for 21 days. Why is it that the angel couldn't overcome? I take it that the rank of the intercepting demon was greater than the rank of the messenger angel. That's why he called for Michael. Verse 13. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Here he was en route to Daniel, and he was able to get no further than the authorities of the land. He was held in check. Michael came and somehow broke him free. The angel, having come, says, "Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen." Verse 15. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. And I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, "O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength at all." Principle number 3, wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. And you that have prayed in the sense of wrestling in prayer need no further explanation. He said, strength left me. In fact, there was not even breath left in me, verse 17. No strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. By the way, let me just add another word. The most significant battle to be done is to be done on the knees. You that are not engaged in the footwork or the handwork or the voice work of witnessing for one of many reasons, I'll tell you, when you advance on your knees, you will open opportunities for those that are doing the footwork. And I'll tell you, you pray sufficiently, you'll find yourself exhausted as though you were right there doing it. When we open up areas of witness, I'll tell you, we are opening up a bag of worms that have never been touched. You just be ready. You can just know it's for sure. The satanic world system is going to be intercepted and blocked and exposed, and that world system doesn't want that, hates it. You know men in government who were born again, you pray like crazy for their lives. There have been dispatched to them, maybe they don't even realize it, the forces of evil to counteract and assault and to nullify and paralyze their efforts, especially if they're born again people. Now, there's another side to it. It's beautiful. Verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. Isn't that great? Here he was exhausted and breathless and at an end. His color had left him, and now he says, "I was strengthened." And he said, "A man," and this creature said to Daniel, "O man of high esteem." By the way, that's the second time Daniel's been addressed like that. Isn't that swell? The hymn writers haven't helped us much. They've made us appear as worms before God. When angelic creatures come from heaven and visit God's people, the angelic creature calls that man a man of high esteem. You are before God a person of high esteem. The Savior lives within you. You're not a worm. You're an individual with purpose and meaning, one in whom God lives. He says, take courage, be courageous. And as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength. And I said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Principle number four, following such experiences, extra measures of strength return. The first principle is when a believer prays, it is immediately heard by God. The second, demonic forces can delay answers to prayer. The third, wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. The fourth, following such experiences, extra measures of strength return. Daniel is a case in point. It's remarkable how God brings strength just when we need it. Sometimes it comes in the form of an angel. I have a friend who spoke with a missionary some years ago about an incredible experience. This missionary was home for a brief furlough, and he was making his way across the southern states from one point to the next in a packed itinerary. And he said to the one he was relating the story to, he said, I was driving late one night, and I could not afford the luxury of spending the night and resting. I had to drive on. And so I asked God somehow to bring me in touch with a believer, to at least keep me awake and to give me some fellowship. He said, it was raining that night, and I turned the corner, and there I saw an individual in a raincoat, you know, thumbing. And I pulled over, and he got in. He was born again. And he said, we had fellowship through the night and on into the early hours of the morning. It was marvelous. He said, we pulled up to a restaurant and stopped, and I said to that individual, look, let's have coffee together. And as we were drinking the coffee, the guests or the stranger said to him, this is as far as I go. And so he left, and the fellow drove off. He thought, I need to get that man's address and phone number and stay in touch. Tell him what a blessing he was to me. So he drove back to the restaurant and couldn't find him, and he asked the restaurant owner if he knew which way he went. And the restaurant owner said, what man? Said, you ordered two cups of coffee, but there was only one of you. And he said he suddenly realized that when the fellow got in the car, he wasn't wet. Yeah, the whole scene of the other world blows our mind. We don't understand. Why don't you get wet when you stand out in the rain? Well, if you're an angel, you're not affected by rain or weather or distance. It can be here and one moment from now be in the heart of Egypt or in the very depths of India. We can't fathom that, can we? And these creatures come and visit and bring encouragement. How many would come as visitors in this church, as angels unaware? An incredible thought. How many individuals have brought encouragement to your life and you thought they were people, but they were angels? Isn't it mind-blowing to just think of that whole world? God has such a plan, such extensive plan. And our little 2x4 minds, because we can't put it together, we don't think it's there. Hey, God has to have a great sense of humor, you know. He made you, didn't he? Daniel, strengthened by this angel. Now look, you think, wow, it's all over. Praise God. That angel broke through. The answer came. That's great. Hang it on your beak, spirit prince of Persia. No, he's still there. Verse 20. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? Now, before you read verse 20, look at verse 21. Here's why he came. I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Now, that's why he came. He said, Daniel, I came so I can tell you what's inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. What forces? Plural. Verse 20. I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. Wow. He said, I'm moving back into that realm, and I know when I go, there'll be additional forces to stand against me. Fifth principle, overcoming demonic forces is not a once-for-all matter. The battle rages. And if you have overcome the forces of the wicked one, praise God, but I'll tell you, it isn't once-for-all. You've battled before God for your soul and the strength of His might. You've put on the armor. You have seen Him take charge. Greater is the one in you than the one in the world. And I'll tell you, He'll be there when you walk out. He'll be there when you come back. He's relentless. But it's a marvelous thought to know that He is outnumbered and outpowered. Let's close by looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, just a couple of three verses. One of my favorite stories, and it's kind of obscure. 2 Kings 6. Let me tell you the background. The king of Syria is a man named Ben-Hadad. The prophet, the man of God, is a man named Elisha. Now, because Elisha was knowing the movement of the Syrian king, it bugged the Syrian king. And he wanted to know who was giving information to the king of Israel so that they kept knowing the movement of the opposing forces, the forces of Syria. And somebody said, Elisha, he listens to God and he gives that information. And so King Hadad said, let's go get Elisha and let's take him captive. And so they went down to Dothan, where Elisha and his servant were living. Verse 14, and he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. That's often the way it is. The enemy strikes at night. Night attacks. Now look at the next verse. Now when the attendant, that's the servant of the man of God, Elisha, had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. Now, that's a drag, isn't it? You get up in the morning, you've got your Bible, and you're going to have some time with God, and you look up, and you're surrounded by these enemy forces, chariots and horses, and you would have done just what this servant did. It said he went back, and he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Where are they? Would be the response of the servant. Where are all of those with us? I see only those that are with them. Look at the response of Elisha. It's great. Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. He saw what? He saw the invisible. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow! That servant got a liberal arts education in the supernatural in one moment of time. Look at that. Now, that's what I'm saying tonight. If we could see the world of support forces that come from the presence of God on our behalf, we would not have that much time spent in fear. Greater is the one in you than the one in the world. Invincible is the one who is in you. You in the center of the will of God, you are invincible. The darkness notwithstanding, nor the invisibility of the forces. I come to two conclusions in sort of a summary and application. Number one, we would be amazed at the presence of unseen forces around us. I'm convinced of that. Both the demonic and the angelic, we would be amazed. And second, we should be encouraged at the power of invincible might within us. We would be amazed at the presence of unseen forces around us. And second, we should be encouraged at the power of invincible might within us. Well, I don't know where you've come from to the service, and I don't know where you're going, but I do know that as a result of this exposure to truth, you are equipped to lay hold of the armor of God. And when you do, you grab hold of those forces that are there to rescue you, to assist you. Isn't that a great thought? It's great. Our Father, tonight, we have experienced the genesis of thought in some new areas. We have come to see afresh and anew the invincible power of the risen Christ. We are weary of listening to the world system that would defeat us and cause us to be afraid. And we just thank you tonight. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And I would pray for those who are given to fear and discouragement, who have been focusing in the wrong direction, that they might have eyes to see like Elisha's servant, that the chariots and the horses of fire surround the child of God. And so we pray that your Spirit might thrill us and feed us and encourage us. Even some who go home alone, we pray that you might be a companion that is closer than a brother or a mate, and you might minister through your presence and the presence of your ministering angels who come in unaware. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
To know we can invoke the power of invincible might within us. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll based on Daniel 10, titled Supernatural Phenomena Between Heaven and Earth. Chuck's study through the book of Daniel is contained in two complete volumes, and you can purchase the CDs today from both volumes 1 and 2, all 18, or any single sermon by going online to insightworld.org. We never know where these daily Bible studies find you, spiritually speaking. Whether you're new in your walk with God or a veteran of many years, we find it a privilege to walk beside you in your journey of faith. We hear from many people who tell us their walk with God can be traced to a day when they began to understand the mystery and magnitude of grace. And sometimes it was the classic Hallmark book from Chuck Swindoll that ignited that newfound passion. He's written The Grace Awakening for people who are tired of a performance-based, legalistic religion and which were motivated to try to earn God's favor. Chuck?
I'm convinced the reason so many men and women have abandoned the church is because they have yet to truly understand God's grace. They've been turned off by empty religion, legalism, and a stringent set of rules that require performance and a touch of showmanship. All of us detest the hypocrisy that characterizes so many churches. And yet, God never intended for us to perform. He never demanded that we earn His favor through empty ritualistic religion. His plan has set us free. As we discover what that means, we embrace
His amazing grace. If you're tired of trying to measure up, if you're working hard to earn God's favor, and if you're fed up with folks who choose to point their bony finger of shame at a broken and lost generation, then don't you think it's about time for the alternative? Come along with me and discover God's plan. Allow yourself to awaken to His grace, God's amazing grace.
And if you're ready for that alternative, then it's time to get your copy of the best-selling book from Chuck Swindoll, The Grace Awakening. An exclusive hardcover edition prepared just for Insight for Living is available today. When you give a donation of any amount, you're invited to request a copy. If you're listening in the United States, call us at 1-800-772-8888. By the way, the encore presentation of the broadcast series begins January 17th, right here. And the best-selling book is available right now. Find out why so many people discovered the liberating power of God's grace for the very first time. Get your copy of The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll. This will likely be the most important book you'll read in the new year. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll's study in Daniel continues Friday with a message called Wars and Rumors of Wars on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Supernatural Phenomena Between Heaven and Earth, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.